Hello, Rapids fans. You're listening to an emergency midweek breaking news episode of Holding the High Line. My name is Matt Pollard. It is the early evening of Tuesday, July 11th, 2023. And earlier today, for Denver FC launched and announced that they are pursuing to bring professional women's soccer to the Mile High City. The FC in for Denver FC, by the way, is signifying for Colorado. Jordan Angeli is a part of the ownership group. She is a Colorado native, former NWSL player, and current Colorado Rapids Apple TV media sideline host personality. And earlier today, myself and Brendan Plone of the Denver Post got to speak to Jordan and also got to speak to Ben Hubbard, who is a part of the ownership group. So we talk about a bunch of things. We ask a bunch of questions. There's a bunch of really interesting news and nuggets in all of this. I'll shut up and I'll let you get to that interview now. We'll see you later this week, maybe.
You guys are winning the day today on WOSO Twitter.
Yes. That was our hope.
Seriously, like the first thing that I noticed, Jordan, is that, you know, you mentioned like all the current players that are in the league. It's 20 right now. But once that news popped out, I mean, almost all of them are like, we need this to happen. Have that support from the fellow, I guess, Coloradan soccer community right away. Just how cool has today been for you?
It's been really cool. It's been overwhelming in the best way because, as Ben and Tom and I know, it's been a lot of work to get to this point where we've at least just gotten it into the world and something that we've created for, gosh, you know, Ben's been doing it, working on it for a lot longer. But, you know, in my mind, I was playing 20 years ago. I wanted this to happen. I wanted there to be a professional team here. Just speaking with some of the players that I played with on national teams, they were like, this would be the best place to play. So it's always been in the back of my mind, and it doesn't surprise me that people are supportive of it and people want it to happen, but it also reinforces why we want to do this, that this is a jackpot of women's soccer in the country. And the fact that we haven't tapped into it yet is crazy, and we want to make a difference and we want to change that. And it all really, you know, the public part of it begins today. And it's been so cool to talk to people. Maybe I haven't talked to, I've gotten messages from GMs in NWSL. I've gotten messages from players. What I've experienced over the last few hours has been just a good reminder that this is the right thing to do and we're onto something.
What's the process like with NWSL to getting that approved? What factors could be at play in terms of you guys going NWSL or USLW?
I mean, I think those are ones we're currently weighing. You know, I think both of those leagues are very focused, as they should be, on the quality of the stadium, of the training facility, of the depth and experience of the ownership group. And, you know, obviously market fundamentals, but I think to Jordan's point, we've got a really strong market. And so it's really trying to address some of those, you know, key elements of putting together a successful club, which obviously is what we need to deliver for the athletes, but also really around what we want to deliver for a match day experience for the fans.
Jordan, obviously we know your story going back to Colorado, but you know, Ben, I got to be honest, I hadn't heard of you before today. I work as a civil engineer during the day, so we could talk a lot of shop on the other side of things. What's the interest in soccer? And then tell me more about, I think a lot of Coloradans can be a little bit suspicious when it's somebody coming from outside. And I think someone who understands and knows the market and gets it in the way that Robin Fraser gets Colorado, I think was critical. And so tell me a little bit about that for you.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm just a huge soccer fan. I played soccer growing up through college. I was raised, interestingly, my generation, I was raised on the 99ers, not the men's team. So I really looked up to the women growing up. Like Mia Hamm was my hero when I was playing in high school. And I think that's a really kind of unique generational part of soccer here in the United States, is it's the women who've dominated. And I have two daughters now who play soccer, and my oldest, you know, keeps asking me why we're going to men's games and not women's games. And is unsatisfied with the answers I've provided her. And, you know, I think it led to a curiosity for me, which is why don't we have a team? The entrepreneur in me then sees opportunity and sort of like, why not have a team? And that's really what has brought Jordan and Tom and I together in this effort. And, you know, to Jordan's point, like, it's not an original idea. This is something that everyone's thought about and wanted for so long. And I think that's what is so joyous about what we're doing here, is we're delivering something the community really, really wants. And I think that's the reaction we've seen in the last few hours, and we're going to see in the days and weeks ahead. We feel really confident we're going to put together not just a successful bid, but I think we are pioneering our own unique playbook as to how a team and franchise can come together in a way that is professional and smart, but also really deeply connected with the community.
For both you guys, so I guess for Kansas City, knowing how they set the bid, I guess with the new stadium incoming and the new training facility, is that just, I guess, going to be like the bare minimum for kind of every team moving forward of what you guys hope to do with whatever, with the funding that will come and et cetera? Like, I guess, yeah, what does it look like? You know, you mentioned the feasibility part of it, but knowing how the new expansion teams have gone about it, is that kind of the new standard?
Absolutely. I just was there in Kansas City. I didn't get to see the new stadium, but I toured the training facility, and it was a vastly different from the double wide trailer that I got as my locker room when I was in WPS. So absolutely. It's the standard. And I sent pictures to Ben and I said, this is what it looks like. And this is the standard in women's soccer now. And I think that is going to be topped in the Bay Area. I wouldn't be surprised if Utah builds a training facility that's specific to the women's group as well. That's the minimum training facility, stadium. And, you know, we really, our focus is on getting a stadium that is centrally located in Denver, because we love living. I live close to the city center. Ben lives close to the city center. It's just nice to be able to have something that is right there, speaking to this community that's a little bit different than really any other place in Colorado. Denver is very unique. So those are our two. The standard has been set, and it's a high bar. And I love that it's a high bar. And we like the challenge. All of us working on it like the challenge. And with any launch of anything, there are going to be obstacles. But I feel like when we have had an obstacle, the conversations we've had on the other side of things have been really good. And we have found out things that we wouldn't have known if this never had come up, of potential places where we could have and house these things. So there's a lot of work that has already been done, especially through Ben and Tom, but at the same vein, there's a lot of work that still has to be done. And I think the biggest thing today and moving forward is for Denver to say, we want this, you know, the community, we want the biggest thing. We want this to be a place where players want to play. So it needs to have a good stadium and a good training facility. But we also want this to feel like the community built it, because that has been such a success in soccer over the last few years, whether it's MLS and what we saw with Atlanta United or LAFC, and now NWSL, what we've seen with Angel City, what we, I think we're seeing a reinvigoration of that with Gotham. We're really seeing these clubs, Portland has it, who, if it is community driven, if it is something that the community loves, that is such a great foundation. And so right now we want people to say, we want to be a part of this. And so far it's been a really good response.
Jordan, I don't have to tell you about the local talent that we have here. You know, if all 20 of the Coloradans who are in the NWSL were on the same team, I feel confident saying that'd be a contender for it. And I think there's a very real possibility that we've got, you know, a co-captain and then potentially the Golden Boot winner at the Women's World Cup there. From a grassroots either engagement standpoint or from an academy standpoint, you know, what are you looking to in terms of engaging local players, you know, what could this team at the academy and the grassroots level achieve?
Ben, you answered this pretty. I liked what you said the other day about this. And
well, I think you're better to answer it, but I will say, okay, like, the mission right now, the one thing I'll say is that there's a very healthy development pipeline already here in Colorado, and I don't think we want to mess with that. We want to pull from it, not compete with it. So there's no plans for an academy or anything that would sort of get in the way of the really great ecosystem we have here. But Jordan, you've got other comments on that.
And I think that's one of the best parts of growing up is there was competition within this state. And if you don't have competition, you can't get better. And the rivalry that I had at Colorado Rush versus Real Colorado and the games that we played were some of the best games I played all year long because they were such a good team. And I think that that's what we're speaking to is what these youth clubs have done in Denver is clearly working because players are making the next step. They are playing on youth national teams, full national teams, not just from Colorado, but Estelle Johnson playing on a full national team in Africa. There are players who have developed and the pathway is already there. So now we just need the pathway to pro. Now we just need the pro. We need to finish that part of the equation because everybody I've talked to says, oh my gosh, I want a team there. And, you know, we're not looking to bring players in for a long time. We don't even have to bid. But I think my biggest driving point, and I'll say this over and over and over again, is there's something special about playing in front of the people who brought you to where you are. And I never got to do that. And Lindsay talks about it a lot. Mal talks about it. Any pro player will talk about playing in front of their friends and family, their club coaches, their high school coaches, their friends from high school. I didn't get to experience that. And I think everybody I've talked to, the fact that spark goes off in their mind. Wow, I get to play in front of my family. I get to invite everybody I know to come and watch me play. That is my why, and that's why I'm driven to do this. I didn't get to experience that, and I don't want that to go. I don't want any other players to have to not get that opportunity.
For sure. I guess, Ben, you know, while the bid was, I guess, the bid, the team was, the project was a launch day. There we go. What would it look like, I guess, to have the city of Denver, like, I guess, publicly support it from City Hall down? And I guess, what would it take to get, I guess, these next steps to really get the ball rolling? Is it more so about getting investors on board first? Or is the civic side just as important about nailing down hey, we want it in this neighborhood. We want to have X, Y, and Z. I guess how much of the city part element is going to be huge moving forward?
Well, I'd say all of the elements are really important, and they all sort of feed each other. So, you know, I think we are investing already, and at this stage, we're investing in some of those critical development activities that will make an investment possible. So, right, it is figuring out real credible site opportunities for training facility and stadium. You know, that will require a partnership of some kind. And certainly the city is one of those potential partners. I think we've got a really amazing advocate in the new mayor. I believe he played soccer in college himself. So we're really excited about Mayor-elect Johnson. I think there's so much community benefit to bringing a team here. There's the economic impact, yes, but obviously the values this team stands for, that it stands for more than the sport, I think is really important. Obviously, some of the communities in Denver and the demographics really support soccer fandom. Even the kind of migration we've had of this kind of soccer generations and Gen Z and millennials moving into town, you know, this is a team for them, even if they've never been a soccer fan before. I think they might just be drawn to the identity of what this stands for. So there's a lot of moving parts to this. It's a very ambitious project, I won't lie. But I think that when you come down to the fundamentals, it is building, we are trying to build a sustainable soccer team. And I think you look at like the product, it is the players, and it is the experience, and investing in that properly. That is stadium, that is training facilities, that is talent. And there's customers, and those are the fans, and making sure this is a really exciting experience for fans, and a brand around that, and making sure that there's a vision and values that gets people excited. Those are the, that's the part that brings joy to communities. And so that's, we're pushing on all of those fronts, and it will, you know, we've got some investors, we are looking to attract more, and getting some of these pieces in place obviously is important to all of that.
Ben, we've obviously got the Men's World Cup that's coming to the United States in 2026. And, you know, there's been reports that U.S. and Mexico are putting a joint bid for 2027. Hopefully Denver doesn't fumble the bag on getting games out here as well. Is there a timeline at all for when, at least just pie in the sky general, not going to hold you to it, when you'd like to see this team be on the field?
Yeah, we want them to be kicking a ball in spring of 2026 is our goal. Which is actually a nice, it's not a lot of time, but it is enough time to do a lot of the building that will be required physically and on the sporting side of it. And I think that timeline in the events you mentioned, we have these huge activation moments that we can leverage for this team. Obviously, this summer being the most important with the Women's World Cup. I mean, how many times I've experienced, we go through a Women's World Cup, everyone's excited. And then that's like, where do you channel that energy and excitement after it's over when there's no team locally? And it's great. Like, I go to Rapids games. I'm a season ticket holder and a Rapids fan. But wouldn't it be great if we could channel into a women's team? And so that's partly what we're trying to do this summer, is like leverage that energy and excitement. We're going to have the Men's World Cup here 2026. And then hopefully, fingers crossed, a 2027 Mexico U.S. World Cup. That's an amazing kind of timeline. And I think, you know, a quality women's football product will capture so much of the upside that we see on the horizon.
For sure. Sorry, Matt. I guess when you think about the uniqueness of NWSL ownership groups, there are oftentimes many, many people involved that are investors in the team. And well, frankly, when you look at Denver as a sports town, there's, you know, three big parties really. And obviously KSC is one of them. If for whatever reason the project is a success, but you can't play at the stadium right away, have you guys considered speaking with KSC about using DSGP as a venue possibility at one point, or and I guess knowing that there would be a new soccer team in the Denver space, how open has KSC been about kind of working maybe with you guys or not even? I don't know.
I'll just say we're open to all options and possibilities, and I can't really kind of share some of those active conversations, but we're certainly open to and investigating and pursuing all options and possibilities.
And I know this is isn't exactly what you asked, Brendan, but I'll just speak to, you mentioned Denver being a sports town and the success of the teams that are here. I will just say we have had a number of conversations with athletes either from Denver who have played for Denver sports or are currently playing for Denver sports. And their reaction when we tell them about this is something that is so positive. And most all of them have said, I want to be involved. So where that leads to, we're not completely sure yet, but everybody who plays here knows how great a place this is to be a professional athlete in. And I think that that is a driving force behind this. And one of the reasons that we have reached out to all these different pro athletes is
hey, you know, what's it like to play here? How do you think this would fit? And it seems like unanimously everyone is saying this would be amazing and we want to support it in one way or another. And we're keeping those conversations ongoing and making sure that we accumulate as many as possible. But this is not just a great town for pro sports, but it's a great state for athletes. And I think that's another thing is there has been some rock star athletes who have come out of this state. And that is something that we just love about Colorado is the atmosphere it provides to cultivate some of the best in the world. And so we definitely are tapping into that.
And to state the obvious, I mean, we are a sports town, we are a championship sports town, and we have zero pro women's sports.
Yes, so yes, that's the biggest thing.
And that's something like everyone can get behind, whether or not you're a soccer fan. That's exciting.
Ben, I wanted to go back. You mentioned to, you know, activating and having a really big opportunity, you know, this summer with the Women's World Cup. And if you're right about kicking a ball by 2026, then obviously that, albeit men's to women's, would be appropriate. On that note, what can you tell us about the event's going to be like on the 21st?
Yeah, so this is, you know, kind of a centerpiece of our effort is hosting World Cup watch parties. And so we're kicking off with the primetime game on Friday, the 21st. It's at the number 38, which if you guys have been there, it's a great venue. So we'll be taking the place over and having a good time and watching the game with everybody in the community. Assuming they keep winning and getting those primetime games, we will have subsequent watch parties at McGregor Square. And yeah, hopefully we'll take that all the way through. Unfortunately, the World Cup final, I don't believe is not a primetime game. But yeah, any kind of primetime game that they're playing in, we'll be hosting, a watch party of some sort. And so, yeah, it's just a great way to get together as a community, and celebrate women's soccer and celebrate, you know, kicking off this effort.
Jordan, real quick.
Hold on. I was trying to answer that, but I couldn't get myself off mute. Since it's not prime time, the final, we'll really get to see who our loyal supporters are at those early a.m. hours, right?
3 a.m. McGregor Square watch party.
Jordan, real quick. So you went on the DNVR pod on April, and you mentioned that day that you got a DM from somebody, I guess, trying to kick off. Was that the start of it all?
Yep.
No way.
Yep. That was it.
Can you, I guess, yeah, what is it? Knowing it's, you know, it's now July, but I guess so fast. Like, that's insane. Yeah.
I think, you know, whenever DMs can be a real weird place, you know, for anybody, but when you're in sports, you just never know what you're gonna get. And I think when I saw Tom's bio, I was like, this is interesting, because I knew enough about Indie 11 to know how it got launched and a little of the insight there. So that was just really funny timing that I spoke on a podcast right after that happened and, you know, expressed at the time some of my concerns. But I think as we have built, like, I've spoken to so many people over the years about this, and it's always been a little bit of like, oh, you know, someone should do this. And the coolest thing about this is like Ben, Tom, and I have been like, all right, let's do it, you know, and they were really on board before and then brought me in and it's something they were kind of working on, at least through some stronger conversations before I came on board. But it has been a downhill effect where, you know, you better be running because this train is a moving, and it's been really fun to be a part of and just work with these guys. They're so knowledgeable and great. And yeah, just a really good atmosphere so far, which is, and the people that have helped us out have been incredible so far. And we've really loved some of the people that are working with us behind the scenes to get this launched and out there to the world.
Yeah. Are you guys familiar with, like, I don't know, The Source and Hotel and all that stuff? So Wonderworks is a local creative agency They did all the creative on this, and they've just been amazing and totally get it. And Skylark, which is a kind of comms PR firm, but like also like but for the soccer industry, and actually helped launch San Diego Wave, have been involved in this. And yeah, and Jordan has brought so much to this. Honestly, like her narrative and story is sort of why this should happen. And so it's pretty inspiring for us even to work with Jordan on it. And Tom, who's obviously not with us right now, but you know, has started and created a, you know, a really successful championship USL team in Indy 11. So just a lot of different and diverse experience around the table. And honestly, this is like a 0-1 thing, right? It's everyone's got the idea, like, how do we actually make it happen? And you can't, maybe you could do it alone. I don't know how you do it alone. I do think it's like, we're all team sport people, right? And this is definitely a team sport, going to 0-1 on this. So excited to have the group we have.
If you could do it alone, it would be done by now. And that's the, you know, it has been a really fun collaborative effort. And we feel like we're at the starting line of a marathon. You know, we got to the starting line, you know, and there's still exciting things to happen, a lot of work to happen, but we believe that there is going to be a finish line and a kickoff date at some point in Denver for women's professional soccer.
Mm-hmm. I'm someone who sometimes reads a little bit too much into color schemes and branding and symbolism. So I saw the launch today and there was some black, a little bit of forest green, maybe some reddish pink in there that maybe you thought of, Jordan. Should I be reading into the colors for what a potential crest or first kit could look like?
I love how you think that was my color. My color was green, baby. I want it green. No, there's really nothing. The cool thing about the launch and the initiative to start this movement here in Colorado is that we're not the end product, that we could do something that felt very Colorado in bringing people out to say, hey, we want to bring women's soccer to Denver without this our color scheme when we do launch in 26, because I truly believe that we're going to, is it could be completely different than this. So we were like, what an opportunity that we have to put something out there that feels very Denver, feels very Colorado, feels very our culture here at the moment. You know, I think one of the words was whimsical, but I feel like it's very natural. It's very, I don't know, for me, it feels comfortable. Especially with the green, it makes me think of Colorado a lot. So we felt like we had an opportunity to do something different. And you might see some of these colors at the end of the day, but there is a chance that you might not see any of them. And kind of the push there is like, for those people who are going to be with us from day one, they know about all this stuff. And they're going to know like what we came from to what we've progressed into. And yeah, so it's a starting point, but I dig it. I love the color scheme and some of the work that WonderWorks has put in to making this so specifically for Denver FC and really for Denver and for Colorado with just the way it feels.
And I think that really captures what we're trying to do here. Like for Denver, FC stands for for Colorado, obviously football club too, but like it just captures like the kind of vibe and intention for this. And we had a real discussion, like, do we want to create a temporary brand? And it's like, yeah, let's, like, no one's done that before. Let's do it. And let's be transparent around what this is. It's a temporary brand. We're in this phase. And so I think, I don't know, it's a bit of a new playbook, but one we're excited about. And I think it'll help the community get a taste for what is to come. And they will be involved in kind of helping guide the team's eventual name and identity. And, you know, that'll be a whole process post a successful bid.
Yeah, I guess looking, you guys said you want to submit a formal bid till the end of the year. What are, I guess, the steps to actually submitting a bid? And would it be to both leagues in theory? Because I know the NWSL, they've said they're on a timeline. They want to get 16 teams by 26. And with the new W League launching this year, I think there's going to be 8 teams at least. Yeah, I guess what's it going to look like? And
yeah. Real quick, I gotta run, guys.
Okay, sorry.
So if y'all have any other questions, feel free to reach out. But thank you both,
Jordan. And thanks, Ben. So much for your time.
Yep.
Thanks, okay. Jordan.
Yeah. Bye.
Those are good questions. I think we're talking to both leagues right now. We're learning more about their process. I think they're going to be forthcoming with more information. So I think that's kind of where we are, is we're talking to the leagues and kind of understanding what they need, what we need to do to be successful. And we do expect a deadline sometime later this year, but neither has been public about that. Last year's, I think, was like early November was the deadline they had for the NWSL, at least. It was like early November. So,
mm-hmm. Ben, so we've connected the dots on how Jordan got involved in the process. I'm wondering how you and Tom, or how Tom got involved, or who contacted who first, because I read the press release earlier and I was like, I remember that name, and I had to Google him, and I'm like, okay, yes, this isn't just some random business person who's deciding to invest in women's soccer.
Yeah, no, that's me, the random business guy. But I, you know, I, like I said, this is not an original idea. I think I'm an entrepreneur, and I don't know, I'm at my best when like seeing an opportunity and trying to push it into reality. And so I got pretty seized by the opportunity. And what I saw standing in the way was wasn't anything so big that couldn't be overcome, and something that would just require motivating a group of people to put something together. And so I kind of know what I'm good at. I know what I don't know. And so, yeah, I don't come from professional sports background. And I'm nothing in soccer beyond a fan and a soccer dad. So really I was connected to Tom last August, actually, almost a year ago, through a mutual friend, who was like, you know what, I love what you're doing. You need to meet this guy, Tom. Tom had just moved to Denver. And so we connected, and then we've been kind of, you know, marinating in on this and incubating it and having conversations, with everybody who could lend some level of insight or expertise to this, being from the soccer world, from the real estate world, from the political world. And, you know, I think by early this year, we were pretty convinced that this was an achievable mission. And so then it became, you know, how do we bring this to fruition? So when we started connecting with Jordan and putting together kind of the bigger kind of group here, starting really with today, really today's kind of day zero, in this process. So that's how it came together. Pretty organic. You know, we've all got, I'm running a company, and so we got day jobs. But we're all pretty passionate about this, and that's really what's driving all of it.
For sure. So just for, I guess, like facts purposes, how big is the team right now of the FC Denver team, right? Or for Denver FC, sorry.
It depends how you measure it. We've got, there's three, Tom, Jordan and I are kind of leading and driving this. We've got, I'd say we have a dedicated group of 1, 2, 3, I mean, depending how you cut it, I'd say there's another half dozen people kind of working a lot of time on this, and then another half dozen, you know, supporting us in different ways. So yeah, I'd say probably a dozen people total, with some level of involvement, at least in getting us to this point. And I hope to grow that group. We got to keep ourselves, you know, organized and structured. But yeah, that's what has gotten us to this stage. And as I said, like really a lot of generosity from the community and businesses like WonderWorks and, to help us get there.
I'm going to ask a really tech nerd question here for you, Ben, which is, so just looking at Parcells website for the 5 minutes before, as part of my research and everything, we've seen owners who have expertise in other areas bring that expertise into how they operate their sports teams and everything. Stan Kroenke and Jerry Jones know their real estate and everything. And you look at what they've done developing their stadiums. That's maybe one really good example. Maybe Todd Bowley at Chelsea, maybe a little bit too much focusing on financial assets rather than actually winning. How could what you do from a logistics standpoint, is there any chance that that becomes a point of strength in terms of operating the team?
You know, I don't know how much direct benefit there is or direct expertise there is between cargo insurance and technology and professional women's soccer. But I think, honestly, I think the relevant part here is understanding how to build a company and an organization and a culture, and going zero to one. And that's what I've done several times. And I love building organizations and that are built around a vision and a mission. That's Parcel. That's what we've done. So I think those are all directly applicable to really to this phase, especially of a team. And, you know, I won't be the primary owner of this team. We are assembling an ownership group. There'll be several owners, but there will be a principal, you know, financial sponsor and owner. And that is, you know, one part that we're still working on. And ultimately that party will be making a lot of these long-term decisions. And so we kind of, you know, and I see part of myself here as a steward of preparing this, and finding the right group of owners, curating the right group of owners to make sure that there's alignment on that vision and values, because they dictate so much of what becomes of the team. And I think that's what's interesting about this, right, is we are laying out a vision and values and purpose for this team. And we'll fit an ownership group into that versus the other way around. And I think that's, again, I think that's part of the innovation we're seeing that women's soccer is bringing to professional sports, is that innovation and how teams are constructed and what they're made of. So I just think it's a really great greenfield space to be in right now.
Yeah, that's what I was kind of pointing at earlier. I guess the organic nature of women's, specifically NWSL team, about how many people get involved and how passionate they are about it, and they just run with it to take it off into a totally new badass place that it's never been before. And Denver is going to be the new chapter of that, hopefully.
Yeah. Yep. Exactly. And look at what the Minnesota Aurora have done, and they did a community round for part of it. And, you know, there's certain rules and standards we need to fulfill for these leagues. And I think we need to fit the capital and ownership group into the requirements, but then there's a bunch of latitude within that to get creative. And yeah, we want, you know, it's your team, our town kind of approach.
Ben, I'm sure you've seen, as a season ticket holder, the last two secondary kits for the Rapids have had a meaning behind them and then a social impact that really hit close to home. And, you know, I could look at, you know, what KSC does in the community and everything. And on some level, simply starting a women's team and creating a space for a women's athlete, I think some people could see as activist or see as progressive. How much do you guys, you know, want to see? There's obviously going to be wins and losses, and in ownership level, there's only so much that you can do to control that. But how much are you looking at this as a platform to provide wins in the community and really be a force for change in ways that, I'm not sure if you watched Welcome to Wrexham, but what they've done in that community, regardless of winning promotion back into the football league, has meant so much to so many.
Yeah, I mean, it's a big part of what we want to do with this club. And I think it's a good business decision too, right? Because I think attracting a fan base that may not be, you know, may not be a diehard soccer fan, right? They might be drawn to the values of the club and the impact they're making, and they're wearing the scarf or the shirt because of what it stands for. And that, you know, I think you look at the demographics of our area. I think we can reach communities. I think we can different communities. I think we can reach across generations in a different way with this team. I think we'll look at different models in terms of how we make a community impact directly. Obviously, you know, the communities where we play in will be paramount. You know, we're studying what, you know, organizations like the Oakland Soul have done. They're incredibly purpose driven. What can we learn from their model? Obviously, Angel City has pioneered a lot in this regard in terms of sharing sponsorship dollars with the community. So, you know, this is Denver. It's a pioneering town. I think we will come up with our own playbook, but the community benefit here, it's the word that keeps coming up. That's what this is about. It's about the athletes. It's about the community. And you get those two things right, I think you end up with a really exciting, sustainable football club.
Awesome. That's all I got, Ben.
Same for me as well. I think I think your last answer is a wonderful way for us to end the conversation.
Yeah, well, I'm glad to meet you guys. I'm Jordan's taking me through doing the laughs with her on the soccer journalism world and all the soccer world. So
yeah,
it's good to meet you guys. It's good to be part of the soccer community officially now.